We are back with the Elaborators podcast, episode 54. Who's counting? I am producer Simon here, and I've got two friends. They're here as guests. They're very special guests. All of our guests are special, but I will admit that I don't get them anything. I think I've even forgotten bottles of water today. So welcome, guests. We have Fatai here.
Hello.
Sorry that I've provided nothing as a hospitable advantage to attending the podcast.
I drink from the well. It's all right.
Okay. Let it be known. And we have Pastor Stan over there on the end today. You got your way to the middle the last podcast.
I did. Now I'm demoted again, right?
Yeah, now you're back over there.
There we go. So I'm just honored to be in the room with Fatai.
Who is Fatai?
I'm honored to be in the room.
Who is Fatai? Fatai?
With Pastor Stan. Sorry, hi.
Well, the people that don't have a clue who you are, us two have been on here for way too many episodes.
Mm.
I think this might be your third.
Yeah, something like that.
So who are you?
That's a great question.
Who are you in the context of Werribee Baptist Church?
Yes, I am the creative director. Am I? Yeah.
And ask him. He's the boss.
Go with it. Yeah.
I have the pleasure of leading the worship team here at Werribee, and we have fun
just true.
Worshiping the Lord and leading this amazing congregation in his presence. And every week, we get to do it every week.
Right.
It's pretty cool.
Funnily enough, Sunday comes around every week.
It does.
That's true.
It does. Sunday's coming already. Yep. Yeah. Yes. It just happened. But
Fatai,
actually, I want more of Fatai's background.
I was about to ask, who is Fatai not related to Werribee Baptist Church?
Ooh, a daughter of the Most High. I'm loved.
Pastor Inike?
I'm saved. a bit higher than that. No, I am my father's daughter, though. That's another way to explain who I am. Mm-hmm. I am like my father, Inoki, as you might know, Pastor Inoki. I sing for a living outside of my role here, which kind of goes hand in hand. It's all music related. But, I am... a believer. I love Jesus. I'm a creative at heart. I love people, and I enjoy creating opportunities for people to meet Jesus, whether it's at church, outside of church, in relationships. That's what it's all about, relationship, right? So I do my best to make the most of every moment to do that.
All right, that's the podcast. Thanks, everyone. Nothing more needs to be said. No, I'm just joking. Good intro. That's good.
Okay, thanks.
Welcome for Ty, everybody.
Applause button.
There's. I've had bad history with this, so I'm going to stare at it.
Have a go.
Hey.
I could read the size 6 font. There's a in-studio audience. And we will, for Ty, you are cradling a guitar. Mm-hmm. As your comfort object here on the podcast today.
Yep, it's my sensory object.
And we will be hearing from that guitar later on in the podcast. So that's exciting.
Ooh. So wait, no matter how boring this gets, wait.
Right?
Wait.
Right. And it's going to get boring.
Skip through to the end. I'm kidding. You won't want to miss any of it. So right. stay with us.
Stop listening at 2 speed like I do in every podcast. Slow us down to 1. And we'll try and talk faster.
Yes.
There we go.
And then it gets normal. Anyway, right. Enough about that. The podcast today is all about, I better read my notes so that I actually talk about what the podcast is actually about. We're covering a few different things. One of them is the song that we'll hear from you later, which is an original.
Yes.
And also the topic that Pastor Stan preached on yesterday, which I will go out on a limb and talk about being surrendering, trusting in the plan, what to do when God changes everything and pulls the rug out from under you seemingly. And maybe those two things might actually relate to each other in some way. We might be able to find the segue between. So your message yesterday, Pastor Stan, was on Mary. We've got a little bit of a Christmas theme going on. We are in December here when we're recording this. Mm-hmm. Can you give us like your elevator pitch on what you did yesterday?
What I did yesterday.
Yeah, not an 8-minute sermon. like the Pope declares.
That is the elevator pitch.
I want like an eight.
I ride slow elevators.
I want like an 8 second.
All the way to the penthouse, right?
An so 8 second, an 8 second pitch, not an 8 minute
an
pitch.
An 8 second pitch.
No, eight second pitch is I
will trust and believe and let God lead. Boom.
Great. Ooh. What about the part that I think everybody in the room really latched onto when you just told everybody to give up?
Give up. Yeah. It almost didn't make the sermon, but I just had this compelling unction or whatever you want to call it. I could not do it, but I wasn't even sure it fit the sermon. But it was talking about surrender, and I just made a statement that said, you know, if you're frustrated in life or if you're scared, if you're skeptical, if you're not sure what's going on, and sometimes in life we just want to give up. I said, give up. Which sounds ridiculous. It's like, that's so inspirational. You want to give up in life? Give up.
Right. You know? That's going to make you millions. Write a book.
Hey, there we go. So, but what I really was getting at is when you want to give up, surrender, you know, let go of it. Let God take care of it. That's what the give up was all about.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Yeah.
As the famous song goes.
Yeah, there is a song about that. A country song, I think. Yeah.
That's not the song that Ty's singing later on.
I bet she could, though.
I bet she could. So as part of that, well, not really related to the giving up part, but we talked, you brought angels into the conversation.
Well, that's what the whole series is. It's angelic announcements around Christmas. And it's about people living their ordinary, everyday life, and then that being interrupted by an angel, a messenger from heaven, with God saying, got a different plan here. So that's what we're going through over the next few weeks.
Now, how do angels, do they cause a bit of trouble throughout the Bible? Have they got a regular pattern through
the Bible? Do they cause trouble throughout the Bible? When angels show up, it gets people's attention.
Right.
So I would say that's probably if you want to say they're causing trouble, it changes up people's plans usually because it's a message from God. And it usually is, hey, they usually start with don't be afraid, you know, because apparently angels are scary, you know.
Maybe word got around that everyone's plans change when an angel turns up.
It's like, oh.
That's what they're saying. Don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Going to mess with the plan.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid.
But throughout the Christmas story, the angels kept making the announcements, and that set the stage. Without the angels making the announcements to Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, it wouldn't have been as convincing. Mary needed that angel to talk to her to set it up, for her to understand what happened. Can you imagine if Mary, if it all happened, she was pregnant with Jesus, but an angel had never told her what was going on? It's like, how did you turn up pregnant? Well, I have no idea. You know, and for Joseph, he needed the angel, and you're going to hear about this week in Pastor Inike's message. But it's Joseph needed that for him to be able to accept that his bride to be was pregnant and not put her away. He was going to say, "Yep, done." And then the shepherds, well, they became the first missionaries because they were told by the angels that Jesus is here and he's going to bring hope and joy and peace to everybody. And they wanted to go see because the angel said to. So anyway, the angels got things moving in every one of those cases.
So my question would be, you mentioned in the sermon how the plan that was then brought into Mary was like an impossible, you know, seemed impossible.
Yep.
Up until that point,
it's not how babies come.
Mary and Joseph were grooving in life. Grooving. We assume. You know, they're cruising. They might have had it all mapped out, that kind of thing. And my question was, what does it look like to truly trust God in unexpected or challenging seasons, right? But the angels in this context brought that challenging season. Like Mary was cruising, right? They were pretty good.
Yeah.
And so, but she still trusted in God. She obviously, because she was chosen.
Yep.
So when those seasons do suddenly appear, what's it look like then in the God trust relationship through those seasons? What does it look like to truly trust in that plan?
But to say yes to whatever that prompting is. And actually, if I can put Fatai on the spot, I know a bit of her journey and story and sometimes the plans have changed unexpectedly with lost visas and things like this and everything.
It was stolen.
Yeah, you want to share about that and just how you responded in that situation?
Yeah, I feel like my journey thus far has been nothing but a series of unexpected events. So you think you'd get used to it by now. But every time that angel shows up, every time the Lord is like, let's go left, let's go right, it's still challenging, but I feel more comforted and more prone to obedience the more I get to know who he is. You know, how do you trust or feel safe with someone you don't know? That's why it's a relationship. And so, you know, life is full of ups and downs and can be really overwhelming, especially in those hard seasons. But we need to constantly remind ourselves of who God is and what he's done and what he continues to do. That's our true north. That's our anchor. That's what helps us say yes, you know, even when it's difficult, is knowing that God is faithful. He walks with us, Emmanuel.
Wow.
And he knows what's best. and he will love us through those challenges. But yeah, I can imagine it being hard to say yes if you don't know him. So you know, we need to be reminding ourselves of who he is in the word, in prayer, surrounding ourselves with others who do know him, and hearing testimonies are really powerful as well. It's encouraging to know someone else has also been through what you're going through. But of course it takes practice. So you got to kind of build up some sort of consistent process. If that's the way you operate, because it's easier said than done, of course. But we are creatures of habit. So, you know, when those challenges do come, it's like, oh, how do we get back into that place of trust and surrender? How do we go back to that secret place, as I would like to describe? Is my secret place with the Lord. And yeah, it's basics, just in his word. It's praying. It's communing with other believers.
That was gold.
All right, that's gold. Second gold ending to the podcast.
That whole, you had a mic drop moment like 3 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And you could have dropped it, but that's okay because you kept going and it was still more gold. But you can't trust somebody that you're not in relationship with.
Yep.
You know, and
right. Imagine that stranger walks up to you at the shopping mall and says, "Hey, it's time for you to change your job."
Yeah.
Like, what are you? Yeah. Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. Yep. Of course, you're not going to say yes, because who are you? And you know, who are you to tell me what to do? Even sometimes we might approach the Lord like that. It's like,
but imagine if that stranger approached you, and then you turn to the random person next to you, who actually accidentally really, really knew that stranger. And then said, "Yeah, should be."
Yep, I can testify.
Suddenly, oh man, where's your brain going then?
Yep. Good stuff.
Oh, right. Okay, that's the end of that. That's the end of that bit. I like it. Okay. Well, I'm going to go off that then. So, how come surrendering to that plan is like scary and freeing at the same time? To either of you, it doesn't have to be to Ty.
Yeah. Well, surrendering to God's plan, I believe more times than not, in fact, I'd say just about every time, is going to be scary, because if it's God's plan, it's bigger than you. It's bigger than you're going to be able to accomplish yourself, right? So that's scary. But so if you truly surrender to God's plan and you're trusting God with it, that is freeing, because I'm a get it done kind of person. I'm a fixer. Any problem that comes along, I really believe that my role in life is to have to fix everything. And it's really challenging and disappointing sometimes when I can't do that. When there's a problem so big I can't fix it. I've got several I could tell you about right now, but I won't, because they're personal people and I don't want to. And I can't fix it. And there's absolutely nothing I can do. And the only way I can cope with that as a fixer is to release that to God and let that free me of it, which it's still a challenge, because your heart still hurts for people and everything, and you want it fixed. You want to have a solution. But sometimes it's just bigger than us, and that has to be freeing, so we release it.
So does the freeing part, is that when we joked before about just give up?
Just give up.
In those contexts, though, does giving up mean like you just stop caring about it? Like, I give up?
No.
Like,
no.
Is that what it is?
I give up trying to control this.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. I can't do anything to affect it anymore. Maybe I've actually messed it all up myself, and I've got to give that up because I'm just going to keep making more of a mess. I'm not going to fix it. I've got to give up and surrender. And then that doesn't mean I don't care about it anymore. I'm giving up because, God, you got to take care of this because I know I can't. Mm-hmm. So it's actually the opposite of not caring about it anymore. It's actually giving it to somebody at a higher pay grade than you.
All right, pushing it up the chain.
Push it up the chain.
Yeah, yeah. No,
better track record.
Yeah.
That's good.
So what are some signs? What are some signs that God might be calling someone to, like, we don't all get angels turning up in a place of glory.
Have entertained angels unawares.
Well, true.
Says that in Hebrews. Yeah.
But what are some of those signs that we might be getting asked to take a leap of faith, mm-hmm. And recognizing that in the guidance of it, or any personal scenarios where you have recognized, oh, wait a second, this is actually one of those forks in the road kind of moments.
In general, I think it's usually three different things coming together. It's when your passions, your God-given passions, and your abilities that you're capable of doing things God's gifted you, and opportunity. When those three come together, that's when I want to pay attention and say, okay, is this God? And also, a lot of times, God will send multiple messengers. A lot of times, somebody you'll hear something three times, and three is not a magic number. It's kind of the one that I usually gravitate towards. Like, when I hear it the second time from somebody, it's like, ooh, okay, I need to start paying attention. The third time, it's like, okay, I get it. You got my attention. But that's just my personal experience over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm.
Pastor Stan, would you also say that more times or not, he's in the deep end?
Oh, yeah.
And he's in the unknown.
Yep.
And that's a really uncomfortable place for most of us, because we all do enjoy a sense of control in our life. That's what provides safety in our minds. And so you almost want to look for that uncomfortable feeling.
No.
Because he's asking you to step out in faith and to trust him. That's the ask. That's the deal. And so, that's the only way to really grow is to be outside of your comfort zone. So maybe one way to kind of, and this also takes practice, of course, one way to figure out if God's speaking to you is to ask yourself if it's too comfortable. Am I too comfortable in this relationship or this workplace or this, you know, comfortability is not a bad thing, but like staying stagnant in that won't, you know, force you to become the best that you can be that he's asking us to be, you know. So, you know, asking yourself, is it more times or not, it's an uncomfortable ask when he's speaking to you.
Yep. Correct. Yep. Now, that's beautiful. I actually even said yesterday that a lot of times we don't step out into what God's calling us into because we want to keep it in the controllable and comfortable. Yep. And another way I would say what you were talking about there is that along with the opportunity and the passion and the skills and all that, it's usually generally something that you wouldn't be choosing to do.
Definitely.
That, you know.
For me, yes.
100%. Yep. It's like, that's crazy town to do that. The normal person would not say, yeah, I want to go do that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's those things that you say, wow, okay, that definitely has God's fingerprints on it, I think. Yep. So I'm going to start going that direction and listening reluctantly usually, but
can I admit something?
Yeah.
I'd say this role was exactly that when you came and asked me about it.
I knew that.
I'm like, no, Pastor Stan, I don't want to do this. This is not the time. I don't know how I'm going to fit it in. You know, it didn't make sense to me logically speaking, and I like to think that way most of the time. And then thank God for hindsight. It's like you look back and it's all meant to be.
Yep. And that Starbucks doesn't even exist anymore.
Yeah.
You know.
Come on. Wow.
That was where the conversation started.
Oh, funny.
Yeah. Wow.
That's all right. My journey here as the communications and integrations person started as the kidsmen transition person.
We got one
project. As if I'm coming in for the kidsmen. Yeah.
One project. Yeah.
Seriously.
Stan still wants me in charge of kidsmen.
Some days. But actually Mel's great.
It's sorted now.
She's sorted now. But anytime we need a transition, Now you have the transition to a campus and transition the name and transition.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
No, it's all good. I love it. I love the challenge. So what's last little question on this kind of topic, and then we'll dive into some other stuff. Talking about all of that and the recognition of all of those steps and things, what is the value or importance of looking back at past examples of God's move and faithfulness as a support to be like, yes, okay, I'll go this way? Got any examples?
Well, it's not an example, but I would say that, God is faithful. That's part of his character. Mm-hmm. And you are not so special that he's going to stop doing that. You know, and when you see all the things he's done in the past in other people's lives, but even in your own life, you just lean into that and say, okay, you know what? God does show up. God does take care of things. And even the times where he didn't show up the way you wanted him to, and you were disappointed, because a secret here, don't tell anyone else this, but sometimes we're actually disappointed with God because he doesn't come through the way we thought.
Definitely.
Doesn't mean he wasn't there and not answering and wasn't in control. And in hindsight, you're still able to see that. So it's not just the positive things that you've seen God do, but the hard times that he's guided you through, the hurts that he's guided you through, and that you're still standing, you know, in the end of that. So,
So for Ty, pardon me, my cough. When you write a song, we're going to kind of segue a little bit here.
Okay.
Do you, what's the process for you? Like, how are you, we're talking about all of these life moments, journeys, that kind of stuff. Does that funnel its way into your lyrics when you write songs?
In terms of the writing process, it starts with an idea. Could be a guitar riff. It could be a melody. It can start any which way, and then I start to build a world around it. But the message is extremely important for me as a songwriter, and what is the message that we're trying to communicate through this song. So, you know, the lyrics matter, the way it's phrased matters, and especially when it comes to writing songs about him or to him, I find even more caution and sensitivity to, you know, one, making it biblically sound, theologically sound, as well as, you know, digestible. There's a few things you're thinking about as a writer. It's like the message itself, the heart behind it, how people perceive it, especially when it's a congregational song as well, when they're actually singing it, which was the intention with this particular song. It wasn't an item, or it can be an item. Any song can be an item.
Have you written congregational songs before?
I have, yeah. But yes, I sense a new season of more of it.
So tell us about this song.
The song is called Light of the World. Hey, Sim, you actually inspired it.
Did I?
As much as I, you know, want to explain this profound story of how we came about this song, Sim and I have been dreaming about the lights that we have on the building.
Right, Christmas lights.
A year ago.
Yep.
we got done with Easter and the next day we're like, Christmas, Christmas, Christmas. Yeah. So lights on the building, lights, light of the world. There was this theme in my mind about Jesus being the light of the world, and even for us, our mission and our call is to be a light in this world and to carry his light. And so that's where that line kept in my mind for a bit, light of the world, light of the world. But then over the next couple of months I started, you know, after a service, Beth and I were just jamming a little something around that tagline, and we created the bridge first, actually. That's what came first. Singing holy is the Lord Almighty. And so I actually built the song off the bridge. And then the language of Emmanuel came to mind as well, kind of going with the Christmassy theme. Mm-hmm. It just built section by section over time, gradually. And then, you know, we had Belinda kind of help me tweak some words as well. And then some sound advice from some of our elders as well, just small words to just bring it all together. And so that's how we came about with Light of the World.
I think we should hear it.
Okay.
Shall we hear it?
Yes, we shall.
All right.
The Lord of all the universe has come to meet us here on earth, a promise no man could ever keep. Only God, Messiah, Prince of Peace. Words once spoken, now a baby born to reconcile the sinner to the Father, all made whole. Every witness, raise your voice, Emmanuel. The Lord is with us, the heavens tell what God written, the light.
Thank you for Ty.
Thank you.
Thank you, light of the world. I'll get Stan back on his microphone.
Hey, man.
No. Oh, look at that. I better turn all of that off for you.
You got to cut that in.
Yeah, that can stay in for a moment. And I'll
cutting
turn off
room floor.
Right. I'll turn off for Ty's as well. There we go. Now we can talk like normal people. Thanks, Ty.
Yeah,
there you go, everybody. Wow. That was Light of the World.
Thank you for
performed
having me.
In the studio.
Is that available yet?
It's not. No, we actually just wrote it for the Christmas season, but maybe one day we'll record it as a team.
Yeah, I hope so.
You never know.
Hope so, along with many others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Great. Thank you. I'm going to wrap the podcast ep right there with those two. Thanks, guys, for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
For everybody watching and listening, what should they do, Stan, now with this knowledge? What should they take home today?
Oh, I thought you were rapping. Okay.
Oh, I mean, well, we are.
I would encourage people to reflect on maybe an area of your life, and this is going to be very personal. It's as you've listened to this, maybe if you've gone back and you listened to the message from yesterday, you listened to that song, is there something specific that's just nagging you, you know, or a prompting, lean into that, you know, give that some space, give that some energy, give that some prayer, and even think through what might God be saying and make a decision. Are you willing to actually press in and say, okay, yeah, I'm going to surrender. I'm going to, it might be scary. I might be skeptical. I'm going to trust God and believe, because God's promises are bigger than the impossible. God's presence will comfort you when you're scared. And then God's power is released when you surrender.
Amen.
So I would just encourage you, try to surrender something this week.
Yeah. Love it.
Amen.
And with that, I will declare us done.
For the year.
For the year, I suppose. Yeah. Whoa. If people are listening to this at some point, then this is the end of this year, 2024.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. We are through another
year. What's going to happen in 2025?
What is going to happen in 2025?
I mean, in the world.
Right.
What if you ask that question at the end of 2019?
Oh, man. Don't say it, Stan.
That's forever ago now.
I know.
Wow.
Can you believe
it?
Wow. All right. Well, let's just take that at hand that there's God's plans. Yes. Nobody knows. Surrender everything to God because we don't know what's going to happen in 2025.
Yeah. That's it.
And we'll see you next time.